The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Dr. James Dobson, who was the founder of Focus on the Family, he said this one time. He says, children are not a casual guest in our home. He says, they have been loaned to us temporarily for the purpose of loving them and instilling a foundation of values on which their lives will be built. Let me say that again. They have been loaned to us temporarily for the purpose of loving them and instilling a foundation of values on which their lives will be built. Now, if Dobson was right, and I do believe that he is, the best thing that we can do for our kids is to bring them to Jesus. To introduce them to Jesus, to give them a relationship, help them build a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus is the very one that loaned them to us. And it is this foundation, this desire we have for our kids, it's foundational to our Christian lives to have this desire for them to know and to love Jesus Christ. It's foundational to our faith. If you believe in Jesus, if you trust Him, everything else in your life will be okay. It doesn't matter what you go through. Everything will be okay. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Believe me. It's not easy. But when you know who goes with you, it makes it easier. See, I believe that it should be impossible to live in your home and grow up in your home. If you're a believer in Christ, it's impossible to live there and not develop a relationship with Christ. If you call yourself a Christian and you have children, your home should be a place where that relationship grows. We are in the book of Mark, and we're in Mark 10, and We find as we go through these portions of Mark, we have this thing happening where they're on the mountain and they come down, and then they're struggling with the Pharisees and the Sadducees with the fact that they can't exorcise a demon, and Jesus is, Mark's taking us to these little stories each in time, all these encounters that he's having, and Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It's a busy time. He's preparing for his crucifixion. And Mark gives us these little glimpses of things that happen, these learning moments. And that's what we have here today. And as Jesus was going, the crowds are coming around. And in Mark 10:13 says, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. I mean, think about this. What could be better than Jesus laying his hand on your children? If Jesus is here in bodily, if he came back and he was standing here, don't touch me. Touch my kids. Bless my kids. What an awesome thing. What an awesome that they could do this at this time. See, the Talmud taught that as a parent, you were to take your child to a rabbi, and that rabbi would bless them. And he would bless them with three things. He would first bless them with the fact that they would bless them, praying that the child would know the law. That the child would know the Bible for us today. That he would know the word of God, that he or she would know God's word. Then what the rabbi would bless them with is that they would have a good marriage. I want to tell you parents, grandparents, it is never too early and it's never too late to pray for your child's spouse. Yes, I have prayed for Caleb's and Abigail's spouse. I have prayed that they would be godly people. There are times I would pray protection over those spouses as they are growing up. And there are times I'll also pray protection over their spouses after they're married. But it's never too early or never too late to pray for the spouse of your child. As a parent or as a grandparent or as a great-grandparent. So they would pray that they have a good marriage. Then they would also pray that they would do good works. See, the rabbi would not just pray that they would know scripture, that they would know God's word, but that they would live God's word. You and I should not let our kids out of the house without praying to God that he would help them do good works that day. That is what the rabbis would do. So the people are bringing the children to Jesus because he's a rabbi for him to bless them. But there's something that we kind of miss in these verses, in verse 13. It says, and they were bringing children to him. See, that word they in Hebrew is, or in Greek is actually a masculine word. And I know we don't deal with this in the English language, but if you've ever studied some of the foreign languages, French, Spanish, German, there is a masculine and a feminine. So if it's a masculine word, they would not have used that word as in its masculine form if it was only women bringing the children. So what does that tell us? It tells us that not only were the mothers bringing the children, but the fathers were bringing the children. Isn't that great? The fathers were also bringing the children. I want to tell you, there is nothing stronger than a mother who loves Jesus and raises her kids to love Jesus. But I want to tell you, when you add a father who loves Jesus and who leads his family well, you increase the power that that mother has 1,000%. There's something when both parents are of one mind when it comes to Jesus. Dads, it's your responsibility to raise your children to know Jesus. Did you know that? We, as the spiritual leaders of our homes, men, that's our responsibility. And it's our responsibility to raise our kids, to make sure that they know Christ. See, it's the most important thing that we will ever do is to raise our children to know him. It is more important than any job and any business you have. It's more important than any success you have in business. It's more important that your kids know Jesus than to work on their athletic careers. It is more important for your kids to know Jesus than to have family time. And I know, man, that's, wait a minute. But it's true. It's true. It's more important than anything you can buy. It's more important to bring up your child to know Christ. But how do we do it? How do we do this? Because it's hard today. It's hard to bring children up in this world today. There are so many things that distract us from Christ. How do we do it? The thing is, it starts with me. It starts with you. Starts with you. First of all, what you need to do, you need to make Jesus the priority in your life. Not a priority, the priority. You need to make Jesus the priority in your life. Not one among many, but the number one thing in your life. He needs to be the object of your affection. And that object of your affection needs to be cultivated in your children's lives. The song that we saw here in the video and the verses in Deuteronomy tell us, you know, talk about it when you get up in the morning. Talk about these commandments when you're walking along the road. You can't just say it and then let it go. It has to be constantly a priority. You know, a good education is great to have, but it's not the main priority. Being able to play sport. I love that my kids can play soccer and they can play basketball. I think that's awesome. I hope they get a Nike contract. I don't know. But no, I don't. I want them first to know Jesus. That's most important. And as much as I love to take vacations and I love to have family time, if that takes the place of knowing Jesus, I'm sorry. That family time goes away. We try when we go on vacation, and I'm not saying this to pump myself, you know, say, look at us. When we go on vacation, if we're someplace on Sunday where we can go to church, I don't care where it's at, we go to church. We were in Pennsylvania, and we got there on Saturday, and we saw that this church was having a family fun night, like a harvest festival. We went, and then we went to church the next morning. It was a Methodist church. Ooh, Methodist, I don't know if I can do that. No, it was great. It was a great time for us as a family to get together and sing and love Jesus. See, too many times we put our children's education above their faith and above being in church. And we put their athletic careers above being in church. Those things are nice to have, but they're not the main priority. Sometimes we'll sit and say, well, you know, we listen to the preacher on the radio. We watched him on TV. It's not the same as being in church. It's not the same as being amongst God's people, among the body of Christ. It's good. Nothing wrong with listening to preachers on the TV, depending on who they are. Let me make that caveat. There's nothing wrong with listening to Charles Stanley, watching him, and listening to Charles Stanley or Andy Stanley or any of those really great preachers on TV or on the radio. I do it. During the week, I listen to them all the time. But that doesn't take the place of being in church. It's not the same. We have one shot with our kids. Thank goodness it's not all in one day. Because believe me, there have been days I've looked at myself and said, I blew it. I had a really great opportunity, I blew it. And I know that God, I got to make it up the next day. Do better with my kids the next day. That's part of parenting. But we have one time here. And see, if I take what I value, no matter how good it is, if I take what I value and it's not Jesus, I'm going to affect my kids for the rest of their lives. If I put my job, for me it's a little different, I'm a pastor, but if I put my work ahead of everything else, my children are going to learn that work is more important. If I put sports in front of Jesus, they're going to learn that that's more important than Jesus. I got to find that balance where, yeah, I love doing sports, but Jesus is more important. And if the two conflict, guess who needs to win? Jesus. We need to value what God values. We need to know what He values. Now, spiritual growth cannot happen alone in the home. You need to have them amongst people. It must also be experienced in the church. It has to. To be a lover of God, you must love what God loves. And God loves the church. Don't think so? Husbands, how are we supposed to love our wives? Come on, guys. How are we supposed to love our wives? Like how? Like Jesus loves the church. Right there. Bible says God loves the church. The church is us, not this building, by the way. It's us. We need to love being together. And we need to make it a priority. No amount of scholastic ability, no amount of family time, no amount of athletic ability can ever take the place of a walk with God in your life. It can, I mean, your walk with God can augment those things. It really can. It can make those things even better. Having an athletic career and being a believer in Christ gives you a great opportunity, a great door open to reaching people for Christ. There's no doubt about it. The two can go together. But loving Jesus and making Him a priority needs to be higher than that. Has to be. Making Jesus the priority and serving Him is the most important thing you can do. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, you're a pastor. You have to say these things, right? Yeah, Pastor Veith knows. We learned in school, there's that last thing we learned is that you have to tell people to come to church as a pastor. No! If I was not a pastor, I would still want my kids to know Jesus more than anything else. It has nothing to do with me standing up on the stage and being a pastor. Has everything to do with me being a believer and a lover of Jesus and wanting my kids to have the same thing. Because think about this. If my kids know Jesus and love them, guess what they're going to do for their kids? My grandkids. Well, I'll probably never see, but my grandkids. And if they do that with their grandkids, what do you think they're going to do with their kids? My great grandkids. Talk about building a legacy. What are you building? What legacy are you building today? Is it education? Is it sports? Is it family time? Or is it Jesus in your family? See, if I lead my kids to anything that lessens their commitment to God, I hurt them for the rest of their lives. I plague them for the rest of their lives. It'll always be a problem. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You have done a foolish thing, and now you will go to war." This Jesus, God was telling them, you're going to go to war because you're not doing this. That God walks among the earth, and He looks for people who are committed to Him. And what does He do to them? He strengthens them. I want that for my kids, because I know in this world they're going to need it. They're going to need it. I want my kids' hearts to be strengthened. But I want it because their commitment to Christ reflects my commitment to Christ. I need to make Jesus the priority in my life. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So we need to make Jesus number one. Second of all, we need to teach them the word. Just as spiritual growth cannot happen alone in the home, what we do at a church cannot be your child's primary source of faith. See, at this, we have your kids for maybe an hour. And this is the statistics, if you look at it. We have them for an hour. Now, unless you come to Sunday school, then we have you from heaven for 2 hours. But let's say you come to Sunday school and you come to church and we have them for 2 hours, out of 168 hours, we have your kids. 2 out of 168. We have your kids 1% of the time. And if you're not at home teaching them the word, then they hear about Jesus 1% of the time. 99% of the time they're being influenced by the world. Who do you think is going to win that one? Jesus is strong, believe me. He can do miracles. But we bettered our chances if we're talking about Jesus at home, if we're talking about Scripture at home, if we're teaching them from the Word. You as a parent have a biblical responsibility to teach your kids the Word. Saw this in Deuteronomy 6:6-7. It says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." On your heart first, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk with them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. First and foremost, we need to have those words in our heart. Our main priority needs to be Jesus. You can't teach your kids something that you don't have. Try to teach your kids algebra if you don't know algebra. What do you have to do first? believe me, I'm ready for this. My kids are going to be getting to that point where Beth can't teach them algebra because she doesn't like it. And I can, but it's been a long time since I've done it. So what do I have to do? I have to go back and learn it again. I can't teach them something I don't know. So if I need to teach them about Jesus, I better know Jesus. If I'm going to teach them about the Word, I better be in His Word and know it. Now, if you come to me and you say you don't talk to your kids about Jesus, I'm going to wonder, you probably don't, I haven't made Jesus your number one priority. We need to have those spiritual conversations with our kids. Without Jesus as our priority in our lives, we begin to cultivate a divided allegiance. The Word of God must be on our hearts. And what does it say? It says we must teach it diligently. See, diligence is to do something constant in effort and to accomplish something. Being attentive, being persistent in doing something. I don't know about you, but I'm finding more and more today, I have to learn things persistently. It has to be over and over and over again. And that's what Deuteronomy is telling us, that you need to be persistent, diligent, intentional with your kids. Teach it to them. Talk about it. And you're like, well, my kids are grown, they're married. Teach it to your grandkids. Well, my kids are 22 and 23 and 28. Call them up. Have a spiritual conversation with them. After they pick the phone up off the floor, what's going on, Mom? What's going on, Dad? We just want to talk to you about Jesus. I know it'll be a little weird at first. It feels strange, but do it. I was reading in the book of Isaiah, and I felt I had to share this with you and share it with them. You're their parents. They can't run from you too far, you know. It's never too late. The Word of God must be on your heart, and you must share it. And you may say, I don't know enough. I'm not a theologian. I don't know enough about Scripture. You know what? That is a sorry excuse. I'll be blunt about this. How dare you give that excuse? Because you know what? I don't have my cell phone on me. We have access to the most amazing information. You can go to Google and you say, what does the Bible say about this? And it'll tell you. Be careful. Read it more than one version. Don't always rely on the first one that's chosen. But there are certain websites that are great. GotQuestions.org is a great place to go. There are theologians that I trust, that I've studied under. I've read their stuff. It's good. But you say, your child asks you a question. And believe me, Caleb, at 9 years old, will ask me a question. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know. That one kind of floors me. So I'll go and I'll get a bunch of different answers. And sometimes the answers, we just don't know. And that's okay. But I'll look it up. And I learn and he learns. And we have that conversation. We have no excuse not to do the research. It's so simple. We don't have to go to the library. We got it on our hands. Got it right there in your phone. We are without excuse. See, the thing is, your kids need to see you and see your walk so that they can mimic it. And sometimes I'll be honest with you, I stand there and I think, I don't want them mimicking my walk right now. It's not where it needs to be. Other times I'm like, oh, I want them to be like this. But I need to talk to them. They need to see me open my Bible and read it, or open my app, my Bible app, and read it. You know, they need to know that I'm reading Scripture. They need to know. They need to see Mom and I having spiritual conversations, talking about it, talking about the sermon, talking about something we heard. They need to see it. They need to see us loving our wives as Christ loves the church. They need to see us making being with the body of Christ a priority. They need to hear us pray. You need to be praying for your kids. And I don't just mean at dinner time. I mean before your kids leave in the morning, you need to pray over your kids. And with your kids, and with your wife, and with with the whole family. You need to pray over your kids before they go to sleep. You need to pray with your kids before they go to sleep. When something happens, they need to see and hear you praying and seeing that that is your go-to. Betty's right. Prayer is so important. When something bad happens, somebody calls and says, hey, your cousin's has been in a bad auto accident. The first thing those kids should see you do is say, okay, kids, we're going to pray. We're going to give it to God now. It should never be an afterthought, but they need to see you doing it. First of all, last thing we need to do, we need to spend time with them. Some people believe that love equals influence. It's false. The missing part is time. We must spend time with our kids. And if we want to have influence on them. There's also this false idea that quality is better than quantity. No, it's not. They're both important. You can't sit with your kids in front of the TV and say, I've spent quality time and plenty of time with my kids. You can't sit with your kids with your cell phone in front of you, searching Facebook, sending text, playing Candy Crush, and say, I've had quality time with my kids. You can't. You must listen to them. Pay attention to them. Make them your focus. I used to do so many things. I have a remote control truck in my garage that'll do 95 miles an hour. You know the last time I got that out? It was before we had kids. Wonder why? Because I had lots of hobbies, lots of things I did before I had kids. You know what happened when I had kids? My kids became my hobby. They are what I focus on. They are what I spend my time. Now, I'm looking forward to the day when Caleb finds it and says, Daddy, let's put this together. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do it. You know, he's not ready for that yet. I have telescopes. I have all kinds of stuff that I used to do. And it's not that I pine for those things. I love my son and my daughter. I'd rather spend time with them. Those things became the past. It may be part of the future, but my hobby now is my son and my daughter. It takes time. My prayer for you and my challenge to you as parents is that you have a relationship with your child and that it is a life-giving relationship, because that doesn't happen by accident. I'm going to skip some things here. I know we're going long today, but we're going to feed you afterwards, so we're good. I want to go to verse 13. What happened was, you know, so the people are bringing the children to Jesus and the disciples rebukes them. Now, that's a weird word. We don't use, I'm going to rebuke you now. You know, this doesn't give us what we really want to know. Because what happens is, it's not just that they said, hey, go away. They verbally assaulted these people. They said, go. Jesus is too busy for you. We don't have time. Get those kids away from him. What happens? Jesus becomes indignant. Another word that really doesn't really give us an idea, unless you really look it up. What does it mean? Jesus was indignant. What does it look like? I like what it says in the message. In 10:14, it says, the disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and he let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't get between them and me. These children are the very center of life in the kingdom. Jesus was angry with them. He was irate with them and he let them know it. He let them know it. Now, he didn't sin and let them know it. You want to get on Jesus' bad side? Put something between him and your kids. Keep your kids away from Jesus. You'll get him irate. That's okay. He knows how to be angry and not sin. Don't ever get between Jesus and a child. In In verse 15, it says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. See, so who did the kingdom of God belong to? It belongs to those who have a childlike faith. We talked about that last week. How if you go to an adult and tell them about Jesus, they'll say, eh, I don't know if I believe in that Jesus is God kind of thing. You go to a child and they're like, really? He died for me? And they want to go to the altar every week. That's the childlike faith. That's who the kingdom belongs to. There's a special relationship between Jesus and children. Because children are more open to salvation. And see, I think that these verses that were, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, really show the importance of children's ministry in the church. That's why we had this today. To show how important it is and what an effect it has on the future of the church, yes, but also on the future of all the families. How important it is to have your children in children's ministry. But that's not the end all. You also need to be doing this at home. See, there's this thing called this 4 to 14 window. There are 1.2 billion children in the 10 years between 4 to 14. And at least two-thirds of them don't know Jesus. Think about that. 1.2 billion children from the ages of 4 to 14, and two-thirds of them do not know Jesus. There's a mission field for you. That's why children's ministry is so important. In the U.S., nearly 85% of conversions occur between the ages of 4 and 14. Think about it. 85% of the people who are believers today are believers, they became believers between the ages of 4 and 14. Why? Because from the ages of 4 to 14, children are extremely receptive to the gospel. You don't think it's important that you pray in front of your kids? Don't think it's important that you teach them about Jesus and that you show them with your life how to love Jesus? If you have children between the ages of 4 and 14 and you're a parent who truly says you love Jesus, say you're a believer, you better be showing it to your kids. Because they're more receptive now than they're going to be later. This is why our Faith Kids ministry is so important. And why it's an integral part of our mission to make disciples who make disciples. I'm going to ask Dean. Go ahead, Dean, and get the kids. It's important that we teach our children about Jesus and that as a church, our budget reflects it. We need to really think about that. Does our church budget reflect it? Where your treasure is where your heart is, right? If we have a heart for children, we better have a good budget for children's ministry. This does not mean that we're not also going to reach those who are older, but it means that we really need to focus on the 4 to 14. The odds are we're going to reach them for Christ. And if we reach the kids, guess what? We reach the parents. I don't know about you, but if my daughter came to me and said, Daddy, I want to go to church today. Oh, okay. If my wife came to me and said, Hon, I want to go to church. Well, I know it's different. I'm a pastor, but hon, I want to go to church today. I'd be like, hey, really? I don't think I want to. If my kids come to me while we're on vacation and say, where are we going to church? It's going to matter to me. In Ecclesiastes, it says, remember, you're also your creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. The older we get, the less likely we are to accept Christ. While you're young, make the decision now. If you don't know Christ today or have wandered away, today is the day to come back and believe. Why? Because if you delay, it dulls the sword of the Spirit in your life. You must do it today. The longer you walk with Jesus, the more He can work with you. The more you understand Him. The stronger your relationship with Christ, the more He can do with you. Mark 10:16, this is how He ends this. He says, and He took them in His arms. He blessed them, laying His hands on them. This is what we do. This is what we should do. That's why we do child dedications, because we bless the kids. I've asked the kids to come back in. Believe me, I'm not Jesus. I'm a rabbi, okay, but I'm not Jesus. But I want to bless these guys, so I'm going to sit down here with you. You guys come up here where I can, come on, sit up here with me. Sit up on the stage with me. Now, if you, I would suggest as a parent, if you're a parent of any of these kids, you go home tonight and you bless your kids. I know, I'm looking at Aaron, he does it. Because I talked to him about it and challenged him to do it. And I've walked with him through it, and he's talked to me about how great it is, how hard it is sometimes, but it's also awesome. So I want to bless you guys, okay? All right. I'm going to pray for you and bless you, okay? Father, we praise you. Lord, I bless these kids. They are such joy. Just seeing them makes my heart jump. Lord, I pray that they would know your word. That they would know it. And they would write it on their hearts. And Father, I pray that as they get older, that they, when they find someone they want to spend the rest of their life with, that that person will be somebody who loves you too. And that you would bless their time together, their marriage. Make it strong in the Lord. And Lord, I pray that they would do good works. That they would do good things in your name. May they bring you praise and honor. And Father, I pray for their parents. I pray, Father, that you would give them a heart that loves you and shows these kids what it means to love Jesus. So that these kids will want the same thing. Father, be with them. Walk with them. These little hearts are strong, Lord. They can be strong in you. Help them. May you bless them, Father. May you keep them. May your face shine upon them. May you give them strength beyond strength and love beyond love. Bless their families. Bring them joy in the Lord. Father, we praise you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the meal we are about to take. All good things come from you. All the wonderful things in our life come from you. Thank you for loaning us these children. Help us to be the parents we should be, who honor you and love you with everything we have. And make you the priority, not everything else. We praise you, Father. And we pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.